We are Science Fiction Remnant, Season 2, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games. Music provided by the Atlas.
BlindKnowledge.com.
Movie Steam Boy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant, Season 2. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you find this episode as exciting to listen to as it was for us to create for you. But before we start this episode, I want to take this opportunity to present to you some podcasts we think you might enjoy.
17.9 cycles ago, us machines defeated the humans. Now, we're living the good life here in Droidston, Manitoba.
Morning, Gif!
Morning, Doss!
But there's still the problem of human infestation. That's what it's time to call Human Be Gone.
Human Be Gone!
Experts in ethical human relocation. This job has everything. Danger.
Whoa! Sounds like we got some dingers in there.
Excitement.
Incoming.
And drama.
You're the one who leaked herself in my basmati rice bed.
It's a dirty job, but some bots gotta do it.
Oh!
Human Be Gone. Wherever you get your podcasts.
Human Be Gone.
Hi. I am Jedi Knight Drew.
And I am Padawan Brandon. And together, we are Across the Stars podcast.
Each week, we take you through the entire Star Wars universe in chronological order.
From the good
to the bad.
New episodes are posted every Friday, where we discuss everything Star Wars, TV series, movies, video games, and so much more as we take you on a journey
across the stars.
You brat.
You could hear someone like that, and my name is the brat.
That was the longest pause we ever had on Oh man, that was awesome. It was awesome.
I think that was better.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant. And yes, this is not I Am Robert.
This is not I Am Robert, no. That one is already done. This is I Am Gio.
If you want to watch I Am Robert, just download the previous episode.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is going to be an interesting episode because this movie was long awaited. A caller by the name of Robert from Chicago actually called and recommended this movie so we can do for future episodes. And I'm going to go here and say that the reason why we haven't done it is because it wasn't streaming anywhere. But thanks to our very own Captain Chaos, didn't find Chaos this time. He found the movie. And we got to see it, and that's why we're recording it today. So thank you, Captain Chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Okay, so should we go into our first segment?
Yes, sir.
We are Science Fiction Remnant.
This is the Funny Science Fiction Podcast.
We are the Caribbean Science Fiction Network.
We are Monorats.
We are One Accord Level 2 Podcast.
This is Jesse from Sudden But Inevitable and Open Pike Night.
This is Sci-Fi.
And what did I say, Gio? Every single time?
You know the broom.
You know the drill. This is Sci-Fi is the one way that we could collaborate and join together on our very unified love for sci-fi. And it is amazing to me because, you know, you have something that you love, right? And it could be a book, it could be a TV show, it could be a favorite movie that is all about sci-fi. And you share it. And don't be surprised if you see someone say, oh, I haven't seen this. This seems really interesting. Because that's actually what happens. And it doesn't matter how mainstream that one thing you love is. I know for a fact you're not going to be surprised when someone comes back and engages with you under that hashtag and say, hold on a second. I heard about this because it's mainstream. You know, I have heard about it. But something you said piques my attention. And because of that one thing, now they're watching and giving it a chance. And you'll be surprised. I've seen people that actually have done that, have gone through all that, and have encountered one new thing that they love. So, yeah, just because it's mainstream, don't be afraid. Share your love. And I mean, the worst case scenario, like I like to say, you're going to find someone that loves what you do and a conversation starts. And we all know those conversations, and this is sci-fi hashtag. Gio, can you explain what those conversations?
I mean, they're like happy accidents, man. It basically, sometimes you just share a comment, like, for example, the way that we found this movie. I actually posted another movie about the same director, which is the same director for Akira, classic cyberpunk of all times. And basically, we got suggested by one of our listeners, Roberto, right?
Robert from Chicago, yeah?
Roberto without an O, Robert. And basically, it spikes conversations like that. That's the magic about using this hashtag. It's like sometimes you're just sharing something and then you start talking about all the things surrounding it, you know? And it's like, I wish that you could pick up conversations like this that easy out there. But most people, like, they don't want to do that, you know? They just want to do the small talk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we like this kind of stuff, actually. Talking about theorizing about sci-fi, about different universes and things like that.
Yeah. So for this episode, I am going to try something new. Something that we have already done this. Whenever we get to this segment, I kind of highlight a few posts done, and this is sci-fi hashtag. But for our YouTube viewers out there, I'm gonna do the same thing that I normally do for the audio, but this time I'm gonna show you, and for all of you who are on YouTube, so you can see what we actually see and how actually that interaction looks like. So if you are not on our YouTube channel and you maybe are listening to this on your podcatcher, do us a favor, share this show with someone that loves sci-fi. Like our episodes and subscribe. We definitely need that help, especially if we're trying to grow this community, which is, you know, it's a niche community. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to be able to unite not only the fans, but the creators as well. So we can all have this, our very own a space in the internet where we can share sci-fi. So I'm going to go ahead and share. And the first one out here, if you could see, it's from the podcast That Wouldn't Die. Great podcast, by the way. If you guys have not listened to them, I suggest you go ahead and download and listen to them. Really, really good podcast. I listen to every episode that comes out. They posted for This Is Sci-Fi hashtag. This is a movie that they are discussing on their pod, and it's called A Quiet Place. And Gio, is this sci-fi?
To be honest with you, man, I think it's porn.
For all of you who are actually watching our YouTube channel, that kind of makes sense. No, she has clothes on. She is, I believe, hiding.
I disagree. I beg to disagree. I don't see any piece of clothing there, and she's in a bathtub.
So, yeah, yeah.
Bathtub, only skin.
Well, you know, she has clothes.
And she looks rather excited.
I think Captain Chaos likes to see what he likes to see, you know.
I don't know why you say no, man. I mean, you cannot deny that there's no clothing there.
Yeah, there site. Is.
Look, where is the clothing? Look, tell me, show me.
Look at the hand. Look at here, the shoulder.
Hand, shoulder. I see skin. Oh, those are some nice skin looking leggings. Well,
I don't want that kind of skin, man. That skin is rough.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't use moisturizing cream.
What we have next on the hashtag is a post from our very own best friend, Madison on the
Madison.
Air.
Madison.
She's posting about her episode on, I believe it's called Martian X. I might be, when I listened to that episode, it was a lot of freaking fun. As you know, if you guys don't listen to Madison, she is trapped in how she call it, old timey wimey radio shows. And it's just so much fun because she brings the sass to the 30s and 40s. This episode was really good. Another one that I can feature here is one from our friend Scarif Podcast. We had him on our show multiple times already. Ro. He had great engagement this week on the This Is Sci-Fi hashtag. He's trying to bring back the love of sci-fi. You know, sci-fi TV shows from the 80s. And there's a lot of good ones. I mean, in here, he has a Million Dollar Man. I believe I posted one for Logan's Run, the TV show. So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I believe Space 1999 was brought up in that conversation, too. And the engagement is great, full of nostalgia. So I invite you guys to join up in the discussion on the This Is Sci-Fi hashtag.
Nice, man.
So, should we go to the next segment?
Shout outs.
Well, for this segment, I'm going to start by mentioning everybody to remember that we are proud members of the Blind Knowledge Network. So go and check them out. They have a great variety of content creators, podcasters, streamers. Go check them out at www.blindknowledge.com. They are in all social medias as well. And I'm sure that you're going to have fun with all the other creators that they have there. You surely, regardless of what you like, I'm sure you're going to find something that you can enjoy.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the first person in our list. These shout outs actually were individuals that had great engagement with us in this week and kept that This Is Sci-Fi hashtag alive. And the first one is Malice After Midnight. Thank you so much. And the tag on Twitter is at After Malice. Next, we have Nerd in Texas Podcast. Nice.
Cool name.
And their actual tag, if you're going to find them too, is at Nerd in Texas. Next one is Friendly Neighborhood Nerd.
Yeah.
Nice. And the tag is BOBBOFNN. Next one, a very dear friend of us, Kelly Sensiorgi.
Kelly.
And her tag is Antipodal. Another one that he has a special place in a heart too, E. Lee Zimmerman. And his tag, go and check him out too. He's E. Lee Zimmerman with double M.
Sci-fihistory.net.
Yep. Go and check him out. Always great content, bringing good articles. Love going and reading him. Another one that is actually very, very big collaborators of us. Cinema Recall, The Burn.
The Burn.
And awesome. You can go and check him out. He's on all social medias. His tag on Twitter is @cinema_recall. Go and check him out. A person that actually we spoke to him today was quite an honor. It's Basil from Fanfare. Great, great, great folk. Go and check him out. He has magnificent services doing transcriptions, right?
Yeah, it's Robert? With fanfare.com. And basically, if you want to transcribe an audio file into text, this is the best service out there. It is amazing. They're great people over there. So I invite you guys to go in there, and you can get I believe that you can get your, is it the first month? I think is the latest promotion. You can get started free with no credit card. So you can try it out and see. So if you have the need, I mean, podcasters, you know, we do need those kind of services, but it doesn't, it's not all, you know, just podcasts.
It's not limited to only that, you know, it's not limited to only that, because if you work for a company or something and they're doing some introductory video or a training video too, this can be applied on that kind of business too, and be very, very useful too.
Yeah. And
and those are just few to mention of many, many examples, to be honest.
Yeah, and we have an announcement, but I don't know if we should save that announcement for future episodes. I'll leave it to you, Captain Chaos. What do you think?
Bring it for this one.
Okay. So Fanfare has reached out to us, and they want to sponsor the show. So future episodes, if you listen to us talk about this company more frequently, now you know what's going on. And I would have to say, and let me know what you think, Gio, but we would not sponsor anything that we don't believe in.
That's true.
I like to think that we're going to keep the show like this. It doesn't matter how big we become.
We're not keeping it like this. We're making it better.
But what I'm saying is, you know, going forward into the future, you know, I don't know. I feel that way. I don't feel comfortable talking about something I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. So if you hear our episode being sponsored by companies going forward, just know that we have done our research and we are all in agreement that this is something we believe and we can, you know, fall behind us. So just wanted to let you know, we're not sellouts. We just believe in the product.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Sorry to steal your thunder. You're still in the middle of your shout outs, but
what do you mean? I'm not Zeus, man. I'm just Hermes. I'm just a messenger. And I mean, that was the closing for the shout outs anyways. I wanted to close it with a golden lock by bringing that up. And I think everybody go and check them out. If you have any kind of need of transcripts, they are fantastic. And they are very diverse, like I told you before. Like you can apply this not only to podcasts, but anything that you work with, videos or audio files, they're perfect for it too. Yeah. And that can be applied in many different business terrain, if you think of it.
Yeah. And we will have Basil on a future episode, so stay tuned. We'd like to bring him over because one of the things that we found out through our interaction is that he is as a sci-fi geek as we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a fun conversation. Awesome. And the next segment.
The Outer Remnant.
And Ray, where have you been this week?
Well, Ray has been in the movie because that's the main character.
No, right? Ray is not here this week. And I am so sorry. But he will
No,
be...
don't be sorry. He's a Steam Boy, man. What's the name of Steam Boy?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Ray.
He is the mad scientist. So, yeah, if you don't see Ray on this episode, especially if you're watching us on YouTube, don't worry. He will be on future episodes. So
yeah, he's just flying with the Steam jetpack. All the way to Australia.
Awesome.
Trying to catch flying foxes.
So, Gio, what podcasts have we been in that you want to, you know, recall for this episode in particular? You know, one that comes to mind that was a lot of fun to record.
I mean, it was not too long ago that they posted the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun as hell. And it was actually a blacklist in our show.
Oh, yes.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
Cinema Recall with the Burn, talking about Existence.
And Burn
is one of my top favorite movies.
Burn, you're lucky that we were holding back. Because that's one movie that we have a lot to say. And that's the reason why it's on our blacklist.
But oh, yeah.
Regardless, it was a fun episode. It's always fun with Burn. You know?
Yeah.
We have to have him back. We have to have him back.
We have to, man. We have to. Burn, if you're listening, I don't know what you've been up to, man, but I've seen you dressing up way too classy lately. Are you going to a red carpet or something?
Nice.
We hope to see him here soon. But that was one of the Outer Remnants, like, have been the most fun for me. It's because we were talking about something that, I mean, we love sci-fi, but what more than when we love sci-fi is that specific IP that we're crazy about, you know? It's like when we're talking about something cyberpunk, I'm nuts about it, you know?
Yes.
So it's the same thing.
Yes. I'm going to feature one that I had a lot of fun in. And it's another one that we both have been in. Not sure. By now, I like to think that you guys know our good friends at the FSF podcast.
Yes.
Tim, gotta get you back, man. Me and you, Gio.
Don't worry, Tim. Tim, just for the record, I'm gonna get a cool mug just so we can compete.
And again, this is going back to the This Is Sci-Fi hashtag. You know, in the morning, we all say good morning to each other with a cup of coffee. Sometimes
the photo is involved. We make competitions to see who has the coolest cup.
So join in the fun in the morning.
It's funny. The last time that we were having fun with that, he posted like three different mugs in the morning. I was like, somebody's going to get pissed off with the dishwasher. I was just laughing. It was fun, man.
It was fun. But the episode that I'm talking about, we were talking about the Prime Directive. For all of you out there, and this is also another example for the This Is Sci-Fi hashtag, Tim found interesting Star Trek. This is a mainstream IP. And Tim have not seen it before, but because of following the This Is Sci-Fi hashtag and people talking, especially on the This Is Sci-Fi chat that we have on Twitter, it piqued his interest because of what other people were saying. And he started a rewatch of Star Trek. And one of the things that he struggled with, being new to Trek, is the fact of his understanding of the Prime Directive. So we got invited to his show, and we were talking about the Prime Directive on the FSF podcast. So I invite you guys to not only listen to that episode, but go ahead and download their whole lineup. They have great guests. They are an interview podcast. So, I mean, they you'll be surprised.
They're big leagues. They're big leagues. Like they have a bunch of episodes with a bunch of artists, actors, and actresses that we would love to have in ours too. So, I mean, FSF podcast, when we grew up as a podcast, we want to be like you guys.
I always tell that to Tim. Tim, I want to be like you when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So, I don't know. Are we ready for this?
You just need to get some fire so I can steam that water up so we can get started. Tie it up to my backpack.
So, stick off. I'm not sure if you guys have watched this. And the reason why I'm saying it this way is because I know of some of you who actually listened to our episodes and not watched the thing that we're talking about, which fills me with joy that you guys do that. And I honestly, honestly thank you. Because that shows me that you guys really enjoyed our conversations. But if you haven't seen this, this is a 2004 animation called Steam Boy. And it has big names. It has big names. I mean, if you come from Trek, you have Sir Patrick Stewart. You know, he's Lloyd Steam, Dr. Lloyd Steam on this movie. Another person that I can point out in my mind, the first thing that comes to mind is Dr. Octavius from the Spider-Man franchise. We have Alfred Molina is Dr. Eddie Steam. So big names in this animation. And the animation style.
Oh, beautiful classic.
It's,
and I mean, the storytelling too is just so compelling. Gorgeous, man. It's one of those things that I like. It took me, like, you know that feeling when you watch Ghibli Studios, it's wholesome, takes you back. Yes, just that. It hits the spot.
I really like the animation style, and it's unique.
It was a perfect all new anime animation.
Yes. So, do you have the plot that we can?
We have a plot. Yes, let's read the plot about noodles flying on space with steam.
Oh, that would be awesome, man! Instant ramen noodles.
Oh my god, that would be messy, bro. So that in England in 1868 received a technological remake in the animated adventure Raid, played by Anna Paquin, is a brilliant young inventor who follows in the footsteps of his father, Eddie, by Alfred Molina, and his grandfather, Joel Steam, by Patrick Stewart. After his grandfather sends him in a mysterious mechanical ball that contains a revolutionary power, Ray finds that his world is turning upside down. It seems a lot of people want that power, and not all of them have good intentions. In 1860s, Britain, I mess it up there. So that's that. Don't go back to 1860 again. You just keep going. No time traveling here.
Yes. Oh, man. It could be awesome, though.
I mean, steampunk, that's another thing. Your wife probably was just jumping ecstatic of happiness.
You know,
seeing
it.
All the steampunk.
You know it. This is sci-fi steampunk animation. I couldn't ask for more. And I don't know, you know, where do you stand on this, the steampunk front, Gio?
Steampunk, when it's used right, it takes my attention. They did that here. I mean, I haven't seen anything that has been bad quality from this creator, specifically speaking, per se. But I mean, it was very interesting because, I mean, just looking out throughout the whole scenery and how the story is laid out, they play very well the steampunk with what was industrialism in World War II. Like, you can see all of those traces of society. Even though this was supposedly 1860s, the way that Europe looked in World War II, for example, looks very much alike in that aspect too. And the characters and their and kind of like their costumes and everything was very old-fashioned in that way. I think that they did a great job adapting steampunk with Great Britain too.
Yeah,
it was beautifully done, beautifully done. And I mean, it looks like those video game sceneries that you see. So it's like a very, very well structured fantasy. What they do, that you're like, wow, like this is very, very well elaborated to the little details. It was very, very nice.
Yeah. I could ask my first question, but this is going to be a little tricky. And my first question is typically, how old were you when you saw this and what was your first impression?
I'm 2 days old.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's the thing that I like about these kind of IPs too. It's like they're timeless. It's like Akira. Akira was on in the year that I was born.
Yeah.
It looks the same. It's the same art style that this one that was made. Ghibli Studio has changed a little bit and still they stay true to that too. When you watch Ghibli Studio, it's like even different universes, which is most of everything is always something new, which is nice. But it always stays true to that, what you are to expect visually, you know? It always blows you away, not because the style changed,
mm-hmm.
but because the composition is just something new that blows you away.
Yeah.
What about you?
I guess I can talk, I mean... We already said, how old were we? what was the impression, the first impression? Well, this entire episode is a first impression. It was very refreshing, very unique. I love when I find things like this are unique within the style that they're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Because of that, what I just mentioned, it's very refreshing. And it does help. It has a great story that we can follow through. And the visuals, the aesthetics is what I'm trying to say. It's within the cyberpunk, I mean, the cyberpunk, the steampunk.
No heresy here, please.
Well, you know, you steampunk. Could have, this is another thing that I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for someone to do steampunk, steampunk and cyberpunk. It could happen. Let me say why. If we follow
We lost him.
Huh?
We lost you already. We lost you. I'm going to go and take away your card.
No, but listen to this.
I'm going to take away your card.
Listen to this. The character played by Alfred Molina, Eddie. This is James or Ray's dad. When I saw him for the first time, I was like, oh my God. If we go back to the beginning of this movie, we notice how Dr. Loy, which is Eddie's dad, Dr. Eddie Steam, which is Ray's dad, we're talking about three generations here. Okay. They had an accident where Eddie, I thought even Lloyd died. I know for a fact Eddie did. Because when he's trying to close up that steam gauge, all that steam fell on him. I mean, I don't know if you have felt steam before. I have. And it's just a little bit enough to, you know, cover myself with gauze and get the first burnt ointment that I can find.
Yep.
And seeing this kind of steam all over Eddie's body, he has to be dead. And then
he melted down.
And then towards the end, yeah. And then, you know, a few minutes later, Lloyd was looking for Eddie, is calling for him. It's like, where are you? I can't. And then the apparatus that was behind him exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, okay, then They're goners. They're both goners. But then fast forward a little into this movie, we see Eddie come back. And yeah. The first impression that I got was like, oh my freaking God, this is steampunk cyberpunk. His arm got destroyed. So he rebuilt another arm that is mechanical, completely mechanical, in the steampunk classic style. But
in my defense, would you consider that his prosthetics are steampunk? Because even though he's in a steampunk world, it doesn't work with steam.
You know, it probably is a lot more cyberpunk than steampunk. But
yeah, I get you. I mean, they're in the same universe.
But the thing is this, it is. I wanna go back and say this is steampunk because
it is.
Materials used for that
everything
arm,
else.
It they all look the same as the machineries all around.
No, even the lore, like everything around how they dress and everything, it's very very steampunkish. I mean, the radios. I mean, I used to use this when I was a kid. A pipe across the whole freaking building. And they took it up and go, hey, come on here. I was like, oh my God.
It was awesome. But you see what I mean? I mean, I know it's not something that you normally would gravitate towards when you watch this. I know that you, for example, Gio, you probably haven't really closely paid attention to that, obviously from your comment. And I know, I'm aware of this. It might be due to the fact that I am an overthinker, maybe. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the first thing that I saw was like, I got excited. Because this is steampunk and cyberpunk all together. I mean, I'm not saying the movie is cyberpunk. Don't get me wrong. It would have been kind of cool. And this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but it's for sure it's both because of that. I mean, it's not a steampunk, the prosthetic that he has, but everything else is a steampunk. And the lore, everything, how he looks, is a steampunkish. It's not cyberpunkish.
Yeah.
You know? So it's the concept of his prosthetics are cyberpunk, and still they look steampunk, and everything else around him is steampunk.
And when I saw his mask, at first, you know, we don't know, right? When we see this at first, we don't know that this is a mask. I'm thinking... Oh my God, this is truly, truly cyberpunk. This guy, because, you know, the last time I saw him, he was filled with steam.
Yep.
So then I look at this and I'm like, okay, this must be some apparatus, but he kept his eye because you could see his eye through some. Mm-hmm. And then when he takes his mask off, then I realize it's actually a mask. But still, it doesn't take away from the fact that he's still... cyberpunk because of his arm and legs.
Definitely.
So yeah, I just had to point that out because I got excited.
And I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that. I wish that they would actually go a little bit deeper, but then again, I don't think that, even though it was an anime movie, it was made for a young public too.
Mm-hmm.
So it figures that they would not also go like, they didn't overdo it going technical into it. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Because he kept that fantasy too.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, the human body is amazing. I mean, it happened to me. Like I had a skin condition and I got obsessed with washing myself with very, very boiling hot water. And I burned myself the first time. My body filled up with like scars of burning. And now I don't burn myself with steaming water. Like I can put my hand under water that is steaming and it doesn't burn me. And that's because the body adapts to anything you put it through if you do it through proper conditioning. So I'm sure that afterwards, later on, we'll talk about it too by almost the end of it, but he was exposed again to it, to that kind of steam, and he walked out of it.
Would you say that you would have loved to have seen this movie prior to your condition?
Oh, yes. I mean, I don't think that it would have changed anything, but it probably would have been worse because it would actually be thinking of hot water. I would have been like, okay, you know, and I mean, I did it over time too. Like I would use hot water, but not all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started using more and more, and I kind of got like that germophobia, like, oh no, and I didn't want to scratch. So I just started like washing myself and just putting myself in hot water and going up and up slowly. And it got to the point like over a week, like my body was full of like rashes, but it was not rashes. It was actually skin burnt, like the lowest degree of it, but burned. And after that, like my body just got used to it. Like whenever I have like a wound or something, I put soap. I did it, and like the other part of my hand stays normal, doesn't burn at all in hot water.
What, you heard it here first. We have.
Well, look at your dad. Look at your dad, man. He's a cook. He grabs a freaking pot boiling without gloves, and he doesn't burn.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I grew up all my life just him grabbing plates, and you know, and he's, you know, he's a prankster. He would give me a plate. Oh, he's like, go ahead and grab it. You know, here you go.
Of course.
And I go grab it and drop it in the floor because I got burned, you know?
Typical of him.
And then he laughs, you know?
Of course. He knows.
Oh, wow. So, you know, this scene that we're describing, apparently, you know, the steampunk, it's the whole IP is the fascination with steam. And mm-hmm. it typically covers a lot of copper-like or copper.
Yeah.
Because typically we're talking about, you know, on the typical steampunk, it's usually in the past. So you would need copper tubing to transport or guide steam from one place to the other. Also boiling water. So this Dr. Lloyd and Dr. Eddy were experimenting with steam, and they were trying to get, because apparently in this world, everything is controlled by steam. You have the steamboats, you have all the machineries, all this stuff actually works with steam. So steam in this world is the power source. So they're trying to find a more powerful steam that produces more power. And they, I guess, through their experiments, and I don't know, partly through the accident, they discover a different kind of steam based on the process they use to create it that is a lot more powerful. And we see this when Ray, not the mad scientist, but the one for the show, he opened up by mistake, you know, when he was on the train trying to escape the people from the organization, the O'Hara Foundation, I believe it's called. And he kind of opened that. It looked like a crystal ball that was closed up to hold that steam. Made that. Because we kind of see that it was a crystal ball only because at the beginning they show you that liquid inside before they were going to boil, which I believe is the water, so they can create the steam. And after the accident, we see that crystal ball turn black. So there's a lot of pressure in there to the point where he opened up by mistake. I mean, by accident, not my mistake. When he was being chased in the train. And we actually see, almost like a laser, that steam shooting out with pressure out through the other side and hitting the side buildings as the train goes by and kind of splitting them in half.
Yep.
So we know that it has a lot of pressure because he's being pushed away. If it wasn't because it was...
Being propelled.
So
pressure.
That scene, I have a question for you. Am I a bad person? Because the first thing that I saw, that I thought when he was in that scene, you know, he's being chased by the quote unquote bad guys. And that ball, they're trying to get this ball because supposedly this is a like a scientific discovery.
Shiny discobo.
Yeah, and you know when something new comes out in science to that magnitude, there's a lot of people that want it either to make money or to use it as a weapon. like it happens nowadays. And they have a lot of people after that, and he's trying to defend this ball that's supposed to be sent to him by his granddad. And why I'm saying all this is because the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, why are you saying all this, Robert?
The first thing that came to mind is like, why is he not pushing that towards the guys? Towards the whole thing that is after him.
I'm surprised that you even thought like that.
And that's what I'm saying. Am I a bad guy for, you know, he's being
cheated. No, you're not a bad guy, because that's what I thought. That's what I think all the time. Like, kill him.
He's
kill
not
him, kill
pointing.
Him, kill him.
You know, he's pointing but away from them.
I know
why.
I know why. I mean, he's a kid, you know? There's no that malice. I mean,
what's that really malice?
Not,
he's defending himself.
No, it's that being a child, it entails that. Even in self-defense, killing someone doesn't come as a nature. You know,
yeah,
and if you look at the whole sentiment throughout the whole animation and the creation of the movie, that's there. Like, even when you see the bad guys that are being bad and shooting and stuff like that, I don't sense that malice. Like, for like, let's kill him. You know, like that viciousness.
You know, that's something
them.
That I found refreshing about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a valid point there, because in all the scenes where they're shooting, especially at anyone or well, during the war, though, it wasn't at malice. It was just war. But when they were even shooting at him, it wasn't out of malice.
Yeah, no, it it lacks that viciousness on the back and the bad side of the movie, you know, the characters in there, like, they were doing their own thing, but they were not doing it like, oh, I want to kill. And like, there's even war shown on it. And even when you see the war, you see that is there's a lot of political issues being played out in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you see that there's more like ignorance and division in between the people than really like some viciousness that you see today in society, like people just being bad to each other because of the likes of it. Like, you don't see that in there. You see more, it's like everybody like thinks they're doing good by doing their own thing,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that they're just being divided for no reason, really. Not looking at the bigger picture, you know? Like, we're one whole at the end.
I find that topic very interesting in this movie and how they actually illustrated it.
Masterfully.
The fact that, you know, Eddie and Lloyd discover something that could change the world in this universe. And it's a real powerful steam in a steam world. And from one end, honestly, Lloyd's son, I don't know if it was, and you tell me what you think about this, why he turned quote unquote bad. And I think it's something that is not far depart from what something that could happen nowadays. He saw the power. The absolute power of that one thing they created, and wanted to show his creation to the world. Wanted a name for himself.
Uh-huh.
The problem I feel is
this happens way too often. Actually, in society, it's getting lost on the way.
Yeah, but you know, it's okay. I'm not saying that's bad to do it. It's how you do it that is the problem, and I think this is where Eddie's issue was in this movie.
You see, this is where you and I start find the divide of our opinion, because it's not made out of bad intention, but that does not lower the hard consequences that it brings.
No, and I agree with
they don't portray all of that, but they imply it on the movie,
mm-hmm.
which it was rough, but there was war because of that, because it has happened all across society. When Einstein created the atom, for example, he regretted it afterwards, because then they created the atomic bomb. And I mean, it was a great discovery, you know. It was revolutionary for what science is today. We wouldn't be probably where we are as a scientific community today, mm-hmm. if it was not for that. And he regretted it, because everything great that is created for good use, it can be also used for a bad thing.
Yeah.
And this movie did this also beautifully.
Yes.
They depicted this specific moral dilemma of society, where something was created for the great. And that was the problem with the grandfather that was played by Sir Patrick, is that he created it because he wanted to do good. And then he was trying to sabotage the whole thing because he didn't create it for what it was being used. And he was being seen as a crazy old man. Mm-hmm. They had him locked up. They were trying to like capture him, and he running like he was running with his clothes broken, which made him even look like more comical and more man. Crazy. Yeah, and that's the funny thing. Like, you see crazy people sometimes, and you're like, is he really crazy, or are we actually oblivious?
You know, and that's the thing about this movie. It makes you question, because okay, here's my journey through this movie, right? The kid receives this ball, this steam ball, from his granddad. And he mentioned in a letter, keep it safe.
His grandpa gave him balls.
Keep it safe and don't give it to anyone until I get there, especially the foundation.
Don't touch my balls.
Is that how, I forgot, am I saying it wrong, the O'Hara Foundation?
Oh yeah, the steam castle, they call it too.
Well, no, I'm just talking about the foundation.
Okay, the artifact.
The yes. O'Hara Foundation.
O'Hare. Yeah, just so, like Chicago.
So he discovered this thing. He regretted it immediately, especially, you know, what, you know, for what you said, what they're starting doing with this. So here's the thing, right?
I mean, the movie starts like that. The Ray has actually a letter, like he had a warning not to give it to anybody, much less the people that came looking for it.
Yeah.
That's how the movie starts.
So you see that the O'Hara Foundation, they are the company who actually pay for the research. So they're trying to get the research from the old man.
Yeah.
But what they want to do is they want to do weapons and sell it to every country in the world. So mm-hmm. hence why you don't want to give it to them. In the other hand,
it's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, I'm not going to mention any company per se, but this happens a lot in the real world, where you work for a big corporation and they want you to create, but in the contract that you sign with them, even though it's a voluntary work opportunity, your ideas, you're giving it to them, they're signing off to them, and you are also not allowed to creating on the site, because most of the time you sign an NDA. So because of that, is like, you cannot create on your own. We want you to create here, we'll pay you for that, and it belongs to us, it doesn't belong to you.
Yeah. So we have the foundation after this, and apparently this is something that is off camera, we don't get to see this, but apparently Lloyd talked to a Robert Stevenson. And in the note that was given to Ray, there's specific instructions to give that to Robert Stevenson. So immediately on this movie, we see him and all who are with him as the good guys. Especially when they're trying to protect Ray from the foundation, you know, and almost killing him in the process. And then we find out that they are in part working for the government, which typically is not a bad thing in movies, right? So typically, depending on which movie you see, let me say that.
It's not only that. I think that the girl, what was her name?
Scarlett.
Miss Scarlett. She depicted perfectly what happens with an ignorant mind. first, like, the first thing that struck me about her was her little obnoxiousness at the beginning. That was actually, it wore off throughout the movie to
trigger from warning. Obnoxious.
Yeah?
Trigger warning, animal abuse.
No, and here's the thing. Oh, yes, absolutely. Not only that, but the curious thing is, she's a child. Like, we are not born with these qualities. We hate, we learn.
Exactly.
Hate is one thing that we learn. Society bring us up with it. We don't know that. And she was, like, completely obnoxious. I was like, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with this kid?
Yes.
But as the movie progresses and things get more and more dangerous and perilous for them, you see that her true nature comes, which is she's just a girl. She's a normal kid, and she has no ill intention or nothing.
Yeah.
But still, you can see that ignorance in there. Like when the war is going on, that they bring it up in the movie. I'm not gonna say yet how it came up, because I was like a kicker. I was like, oh wow, damn man, what a way to do this. But she was like, oh okay, you better make sure that we win.
Yeah.
You know. And just right there, he told me, like, wow, oh my god, you know, like she's not even like, should we be doing this? Why? Like, the guy told him straight up why they were doing it, and it's like, you know, and I mean, that's human nature. I've said it in many other different episodes too. Like, if you see through all human nature, the man wants to take what has been mandated, so they're always gonna find somebody that wants to dominate and be on top of the whole hierarchy all the time.
Yeah.
But basically, you can see through that too, like how like the social issues and how the customs of these kind of like decisions at a social level take a big toll in every single individual and how they see life.
Yeah.
Because that's how they were shaping up kids. And I mean, you can see, like, for example, Ray, it seems to be, to me, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was like a boy that lives in the countryside. So he had a lot more simple life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much that when he saw what was happening with war, he was still self-deluded. He wanted to be with his dad. So that was the first thing that kind of like got him off guard. He saw his dad, and I mean, he was happy for it, even though he saw that he was changed. But on top of that, he was a way more simple kid on his mannerisms and everything, his way of thinking. Yeah. Like, he was a lot more innocent. And I mean, that's a lot to tell, because it tells you, like, from where you come, sometimes that cultural group actually can affect you in a good or in a bad way, just with the simplicity or the complexities of these societies.
Yeah. So going back to what I was saying, the fact that, you know, you have the organization that was after this for because they wanted to create weapons so they can make money. And then on the other hand, you have
parentheses. They wanted to create technology to help humanity.
Yeah. Help humanity win wars.
not even because the grandfather saw the big, despair something, he calls it. He's like, I didn't create this for that.
Yeah.
And the kid is like, oh, that one destroyed my house.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Oh my God. These are so people.
Yeah. So yeah, you have the O'Hare Foundation. They wanted to create weapons. They wanted to sell to countries. And then you have Mr. Robert Stevenson.
Bernard?
He wanted to basically help the government in creating weapons. So here's the reason why I'm bringing this up. They're both creating weapons, right? One is obvious. That is, you know, the moral center is not quite right, because, you know, they in it.
Total and Hinge.
They're creating weapons to make money.
You can see that malice. Huh? You can see the malice in how their agents behave too.
Exactly. Now you see the government, on the other hand, they wanted it to create weapons also, and in their mentality, they're doing it to protect the country. How they say it, to protect queen and country. Because they were in England. But they are creating weapons. And these weapons
don't go further to
destroy.
Look how even to protect can actually stain a clean mind. Because Ray, for example, when he's discussing with his grandfather's like, no, this is wrong. And he's like, no, this is good. And then he's like, your father got a gun in your mind. And then he tells it, no, because it's good to have the weapons, not to attack, but if depend. No, he said, like, who are you going to use your weapons on? It's like, depends on who attacks us first. So in his mind, it's not like they're going to initiate an attack.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just for defending us.
Defending. And then he said, who are they going to use it on? And it was kind of like a foreshadowing. Because fast forward a little through the movie, and this is when the war initiates. Which, by the way, it was the O'Hara Foundation's way of demonstrating.
Demonstration. A war was started for the demonstration of new weaponry and technology. I was like, oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
Incredible.
And you know, the sad thing is, given the opportunity, there are people out there that would do this kind of thing.
Yeah. The dangerous thing and the scary thing, because I've looked at, like, I watch a lot of documentaries about, like, our technology in all kinds of fields, and is that we have already enough warheads to obliterate everything on this planet to the crisp.
Yes.
So people like to think, no, they're going to be underground lives or deep in the ocean. No. 100 warheads are enough to erase Earth for where it stands. And there's more than 100 warheads standing above the surface of this planet. So it's scary.
It's not only that. The typical consensus of the average person, when they talk about a warhead, right? They imagine a single warhead hitting a place. And yet,
that's not the case.
It's catastrophic because a single warhead would have a huge radius of destruction. But the reality today is a lot scarier than that. That single warhead splits into multiple warheads with the same potential of destruction.
Yeah.
And
people don't realize too. You have to get into the mind of the art of war. You have to play Sun Tzu, the art of war. You know, if you're gonna attack, you make sure you don't get hit back. And if that means that your nation is the only one standing by the end of it, and then you have to repopulate Earth, some people are bold enough and probably not so conscientious to not really flinch at it if it matters winning or losing, because the only problem is it's not that somebody wants to do this. It's like sometimes we as humans get ourselves into situations that we are already too deep in to back out of it.
Yeah.
So that's why always at all times when there's some danger of nuclear war, everything goes into like thin ice, and even the nations that are threatening to do anything they can to refrain themselves from actually going into action on that field, you know, because it will be irreversible even for them at the end of the day. And I mean, it's just catastrophical at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I mean, we live in a time of day too, like we've seen in recent years too, wars we have going on still.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to me, it's abstract to think we are in 2023, we're still going in wars.
Yeah.
Like we should be way, way further than this. And it's one of the things that to me keeps us too from actually becoming a higher level of civilization too. Because we're just going further away from that collectiveness while that's happening.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are living within their own heads. And let me explain why, right? I invite everybody, if you haven't done this, to do this now. Go into Google and look up pictures of Earth's atmosphere, right? Especially.
I remember looking at the pictures on the old books from 19 when the first rockets were sent into the space on orbit. Looking at that only and looking at what it is today, it's devastating to see.
Yeah,
it's a lot different.
If you guys haven't seen it. And now even better, because I mean, all you have to do is go to NASA.gov, especially with all the moon programs that are going on. There's going to be tons of photos. If you go to the site and look at photos from the space station, there's a lot of photos out there of the human, the Earth atmosphere. And what I find very, very impressive, it just impresses me how thin the atmosphere is. When you look at those photos, it's almost like a piece of paper. And that's what's separating the humans on this planet from death.
Yeah.
From the vacuum of space. It's a very thin layer that is protecting us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind-boggling to me that people are not doing a little bit more to protect this spaceship that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And
this floating rock on nothingness.
On nothingness.
Spinning around explosive fire.
Exactly.
Moving away from it every year, anyways.
and being a little kinder to the person next door.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what color their skin. It doesn't matter what they believe in. It doesn't matter what political affiliation they're on.
No.
It doesn't matter. Because when that atmosphere...
At the end of the day, being a decent human being costs $0.
Yeah.
$0.
When the atmosphere dissipates because something stupid we have done...
Your social class is not going to save you from it.
Exactly.
Man, we got to cover what we're going to cover next. You're going to love it because it touches that. It touches that, but with a touch of irony and so comical, it's just, you're going to crack up.
Wow. So, would you say this movie is this deep or is just us making it deep?
It is deep. It is deep. I mean, think about it. I told you in pre-show I was gonna wait to say it here, but I'm gonna say it here anyways for our fans. But basically, I was expecting a little more of Steamboy flying freaking jetpack.
Yeah,
you don't have much of that. You know, it's a lot of actually building the foundation for this whole story that is going on about warfare, and about economy. You know, and basically. They portray perfectly, like I refer to like World War II and how it was done, but it was pure industrialism, yeah. Basically.
I would have to agree with you. I wanted to see more of Ray flying through the skies in the steam ball.
I will say that I feel, I probably, tell me if I'm right or not, that you were a little disappointed that steampunk was used in that manner and no more with the always touch of fantasy that he has, you know, that is more something wondrous, you know?
But, you know...
It was beautiful. I mean, I almost cried at the end of the movie. I was like, wow, this is freaking beautiful and so deep, you know?
I have to say, I love it when steampunk is used in this sci-fi manner with so much scientific overtones. I love it.
That and with such a deep societal message too, you know? Because, I mean, it's a beautiful movie. I think that it's important to have things like this outside there,
mm-hmm.
because you put your kid at a certain young age, they can watch something that can help them create consciousness about that. Because it's not about, oh, we'll all work on that, you know? It's like we don't realize that every little decision that we do on a daily effort piles up to that big consequence that is coming up on us. Yeah. You know,
what do you think about the castle?
Oh my God, it's beautiful. Oh, it was beautiful. God. I found comical how the father was like introducing them to the castle, like they were actually like a crew of members that were gonna buy the castle or something. He was just so excited. And it's funny because his character is very like the tone, you know, because everything he's been through, so like he's not emotional at all.
Yeah, yeah. The castle was impressive, especially towards the end of this movie. We actually get to see it fly. That is...
Oh, my God.
That should tell you right there how much power, how much steam power. Actually, they were using, what was it, three of those balls that they created, the steam balls, to make mm-hmm. that fly. And something interesting is that when they flew, for example, over water, you see how the water was freezing. and it was creating this Arctic blast as it goes through, freezing everything. It was the illustration and how they, you know, the drawing and how they actually created those scenes was really impressive to me. Seeing something that huge, it kind of resembles a little to the Death Star in a steampunk world.
It was actually, it did look like that for sure.
And
it did look like that.
And then it did not look like that when the carousels and the horses came.
But I mean, that's the funny thing. That's one of the details I found beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is when I was looking at the carousel, it gave it that touch, like it was not a machine. You know, it was a castle, because it gives it that touch. Like there are humans that inhabit this thing.
That was the granddad's Lloyd's version of, and actually, Eddie did say this. This is your version of the castle. This is what he intended that castle to be. He said science is meant to help humanity, and in his world, he wanted humanity to have fun. And this is what he was telling Ray when he was explaining about what they were doing with his technology, where it's not meant for war, it's meant to help humanity. And I found that to be really thought-provoking and impressive when at the end that we see the potential of a weapon that is the castle, and now it becomes a fair. It has the first wheel, it has your horses. It's impressive. It's really impressive. So
yeah.
Do you wanna move on to the final thoughts?
Wow. This movie, man.
I know, right? I know. Yes. I'm with you. And you know, for you know, before you continue.
I'm surprised that I didn't catch it before.
Before you continue, I gotta tell all of you out there listening, right? Watch this if you haven't watched it. Come back to us and you'll understand why we're commenting in this manner. So
yeah. It's what I like to call a state of the art.
Yeah.
It's what I like to call a state of the art movie, you know?
Okay. This movie, my final thoughts, this is, the movie touches a lot of things. And this movie, from the aesthetics are amazing on this movie. The message on this movie. Again, don't get me wrong. You can watch this movie without, you know, having those deep thoughts that we have. So if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You can still enjoy for the aesthetics and you can still enjoy for the story. But if you are those kind of people, like I am, like Gio and Ray, you're really going to enjoy this one because it's very pleasing to the eye. It's very uniquely done. The artwork, the style, the aesthetics, the story. But it has so much in it. It gets your mind thinking in a philosophical way, in a scientific way. And granted, you know, this is still a sci-fi movie. The concepts that you see on this movie are still going to be fiction. But it is so well done in a way that they are believable and they are relatable. So on top of that, the movie is slightly on the wholesome side. Yet, it doesn't have that, you know, yeah, this is completely wholesome because you still have your villains and you still have, but it gets complex because as you watch this movie, your notion of who the villain is changes. And eventually you realize that you don't have a typical single villain, but it's fluent and to the point where the villain actually becomes the idea behind what many other people are trying to do within this movie. And of course, this movie covers two of my favorite things is sci-fi steampunk and sci-fi cyberpunk. I invite all of you guys to watch this movie and come back to us and let us know if you agree with our comments. I'm really love to hear if you've seen this a while ago, how old were you and what was your first impression? Because I saw this yesterday for the first time and I don't know why or how I missed this. This is back in 2004. But I'm really curious to see if you see it now, do you agree with what we just said? Also, I'd like to know what is your thought after watching the entire movie. Very curious if you're, you know, which end are you in? If you are one of those who enjoy without deep thinking about the topic of the movie, how did you enjoy this movie? And if you're one of us, like, you know, one of, like us, where we have to overthink everything, well, I like to say that I am the one that like to overthink this things. Did you enjoy all the deep thoughts that this movie brings? Really, really curious about this. And I guess that would pretty much end the final thoughts on this movie. So I am going to move to, or we're going to move to the science behind science fiction.
The science in sci-fi.
And this is the portion of the show where we highlight things of the topic that we're talking about that are related with science. So, you know, obviously this movie is very relatable. So there's going to be a lot of things that we can pick that are related to science nowadays, specifically when steampunk relates to scientific things that are typically in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So we have, for example, this movie, this whole IP is dependent on steam power.
Completely. I mean, not just the fact that it's situated in the cradle of what steampunk became, which it was the trains.
Yeah.
You know, they were mainly, when the train was invented, the locomotor was made out of steam initially.
Boats. Steamboats. Yeah. Also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, steamboat takes place in an alternative version of the Victorian era. Which very, very uniquely done. I would have to repeat and repeat.
How the steam castle was made.
Oh, wow. My God. And like I said, the alternative in this universe, if you want to call it, is that steam has become the dominant power.
Yeah.
So they obviously, scientists and industry and everybody, would actually fall towards that. What can they do with that new fleshly power, which is steam? Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder, what would it happen if gas or petroleum would not have been the power source that it is now? How would our society would have looked?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's dependent on that on power source, how society would look a lot different. And
definitely.
And I think this is another thing that why this movie captured that unique perspective is because of this. Despite the environmental impact and safety concerns associated with steam power, it continues to be used in various industries today, such as power generation and transportation. It's amazing that technology, and I can see where the steampunk genre, all the steampunk IPs have come from and why it makes it so relatable, is because this is a technology that was used in the past that we kind of set aside because other technologies came up that provided more power.
So you wonder, like, how far would we have gotten? Should we keep on developing those type of technologies?
Yeah. World would have looked a lot different. That is for sure. Yeah. And it makes you wonder if even space travel would have been possible. You know?
Yeah, and Iron Man would look like a rice maker.
So, we're also talking about kinetic energy. And the plot of the movie, it revolves around a powerful new energy source called the steam ball. The steam ball is the one that we were describing, that it was kind of like a crystal ball. And when they, I guess it was through the accident or whatever, they were able to produce a steam, a super powerful steam, and the ball became, black in color. This ball is capable of generating tremendous amount of kinetic energy. The kinetic energy is the energy of an object. Let me rephrase that. The kinetic energy is the energy of energy an object possesses due to its motion.
We're shipping stuff like that to the outer space now.
Steampunk stuff?
It could be. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, go ahead.
I think I sent you a video on Instagram a few days ago. It's like something that goes in rotation, like a big base.
Oh, that kinetic energy, that's a way to propel. Yes, yeah. That thing is amazing. So
exactly.
Basically, the its motion, and this is basically what you're talking about, the motion, it can be converted into other forms of energy, such as electrical or thermal energy.
Yeah.
Research into new forms of energy storage and conversion is ongoing, with potential applications in renewable energy, transportation, and more. So the kinetic energy is one of the topics of research that are being done nowadays, and that's the reason why you have that video that you showed me about that. It looks like it's this arm that is moving real, real fast. And it's
like a giant disc.
Huh?
Like a giant disc.
Yes.
It looks from that eye.
And this arm grabs this object and moves it real, real fast until it reaches the speed that it needs, and then it lets go like a slingshot. And that projectile gets shot into space, basically, using the kinetic energy. So this is actually being used as a way of help with renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to talk about any particular science that you notice in here. There's a lot of, which I find very interesting, the topic of robotics and automation using steam. That is amazing to me.
And the funny thing is that it seems it's a steam, because even though there's lights around in the buildings, you don't see much electrical going on.
Yeah, and the very little electricity that you see, which is very interesting to me. Well, then again, this is an alternative world.
It's what you mentioned. It's what you mentioned too. Imagine that we did not develop these other new technologies and we actually overdeveloped on that specific.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be paying attention to that. By the time that we will want to invest ourselves in something new, we are more advanced on that. And I mean, I'm sure that there's other ways. Look, we're shooting stuff to space with kinetic energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now with fuel and explosions.
Yeah. Yeah. So that the topic of robotics and automation in this world, in this movie, I just find it very fascinating because granted, it might not be to the same level, right? Because of Steam. But then again, we're talking about an IP that is its central point is in the past. This one was supposed to be 1863. So
it was a lot more modern. Like I cannot imagine where we will be.
That is the point where I'm going to. It's like, okay, if this is how automation and robotics looks like, what would 2023 look like in this universe?
Think about it. If you look at it, that was 1860s, right? But the time looks like 100 years after that in a real world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the last topics that I want to mention or feature science in this is superconductivity.
Yes.
The steam castle is powered by a large superconducting coil that generates a powerful magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was impressive. When I said it resembles, granted, it's not the size of the Death Star. Obviously, because Death Star is a moon.
But I was a behemoth inside the Earth.
But imagine you're in London looking up and seeing this black ball covering almost all your sky.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very impressive.
Let's put it on a scale like Independence Day's invasion ship.
Yeah.
Kind of size.
Yeah. So superconductivity is a phenomenon in which certain materials lose all resistance to electrical current at low temperatures, allowing for the efficient transmission of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Superconducting materials have potential applications in a wide range of fields, from energy storage to medical imaging and transportation. One example that I can say for transportation is a technology that I know you, Gio, are waiting for, is the hoverboard. But what do we need to make the hoverboard work with today's technology? That whole area has to be frozen.
Yes. A friend of mine, with Francis, we were 5 years old. He's into Gundams and Gunpla. So he became a mechatronics engineer because of that. And he told me that he put into theory once that to create an anti-gravity field, he just needed three giant rolls of copper and basically fill them up with statics in like a triad. And that would generate enough static that if you try to jump on top of it, you will not fall. You will not fly away neither, but it will keep you like a low height from it without it being able to fall off on it. Because of the static created within them.
Yeah, that.
And I've seen experiments played out on TikTok like that. Like the guy would take four big batteries, put them in like crossway, and then grab like put four spoons crust of aluminum. So this crap is heavy on a paper cup, and fill it up with cereal so it kind of holds them together. And you will see like when he puts them up, like the thing is just hovering on top of the batteries because of the material of the spoons and the static that the batteries are creating and the magnetic field in that perfect formation.
Yeah.
So it is possible.
It is possible. And again, you know, that was my last subject on the science behind science fiction, but it lets you know how relatable this movie is with its science. It's Granted, definitely. It is a science fiction. It's still fiction, but it's very, very relatable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the thing about steampunk. I think most of the time steampunk doesn't stray away into too much fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to try to say it's Harry Potter, then it's another that's another story.
Awesome. Okay, so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know Ray wasn't here. We do miss Ray.
He was in the movie cast on this one, so.
Yeah, so we miss you, Ray, just like you guys miss Ray. So don't worry, he'll be back. Thank you so much for being one more episode with us. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about this movie. I hope that you engage with us, reach out to us. You can call our number, which is 1-305-563-6334. Leave us any message concerning this movie or any movie that we have done or you would like us to do in future episodes, mm-hmm. or any message for any of us. Reach out to us on Discord. Let's continue that conversation. Reach out to us on Twitter. We spent most of our time there. Mm-hmm. And just remember, if you want to help the pod, there's a couple ways that you could do. We really need your help. So you can join our Patreon. We are posting the pre-show on the Patreon. You can also listen to our shows commercial free, and it basically has a one-stop location for all of our episodes, including the pre-show. You can also, if you, which I understand you don't have to, if you want to do something simple, you can buy us a coffee. We are buy me a coffee.
I'm on milk, please. I'm on milk. I don't want regular creamer, okay?
And of course, if you're listening to our pod on your podcatcher, go on YouTube, search for Science Fiction Remnant, and subscribe. We really need your subscription. Help us out in that way. Especially if you like the show, you can like and share. Share the episode with your sci-fi loving friend. Just like
and last but not least, important, go to our YouTube channels you haven't already. And hit that subscribe button.
Yeah. There you go. Doubly that. Awesome. So thank you so much. We really enjoy doing these episodes for you. We really enjoy the engagement and seeing the conversations about the episodes that we have done. So we really appreciate you being here. It means more than you can imagine. Thank you so very much for being with us today, and hope to see you in future episodes.
Till next time.
Well, this is all for now. Reach out to us and let us know what do you think about this episode. Share your comments and let us discuss this episode and any ideas on topics you would like us to discuss on future episodes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sci-Fi Remnant. Would you like to join our Discord server? The link is posted in the description. Remember, if you like this show, do share, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. Doing this will help others find and enjoy this show. Thank you. See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off.